And now, a feature presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh Gamut.
It's Toucher and Rich's.
Toucher and Rich, who are a bunch of sports yahoos.
Best moments of 2018.
Cherish the memories.
Yahoos.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Apparently, Sarge called in and was yelling at Bird. So he could have made me look bad. I don't know why. Did he want to come on the air, Bird? He just wanted to yell? So you believe him now? All right, well, there you go. Sarge was at a funeral. The mystery is solved. He could have yelled at me on the air. I would have taken it. I don't know why he'd yell. I just was questioning if he was at a funeral. I didn't know the details, but if he indeed was. So our inquisitive nature about it is over. He was at a funeral. There you go. He should have come on the air and given me a what for. Don't you think?
Yes. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, he wanted to talk about it enough to call in to Bird and yell.
Well, he wanted to let you know what was actually happening.
Yeah, but he didn't. He just told Bird.
Well, he also, just because I know the circumstances now, maybe he didn't want to prolong the segment.
Okay. Well, he was right. He was at a funeral. And my condolences. But he could have come on and just given me the what for. Or given us the what for. I will not take the entire blame for this. Everyone except for Rich is indeed guilty of...
You're more guilty than the rest of us.
Right, of course, because I am the one in front of the microphone.
Yep. That's how it works.
That is right.
Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown.
It's absolutely true. So Bird, Nick, Dan, Guy from Lauren and Wally, and Mike, our questions have been answered, and indeed my condolences to young Sarge. All right, Rich, we've given the people so much incredible content over the year.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible to limit it to just eight things, and there's only one more of these left. So out of eight things, we've done six. Now, what could possibly be the seventh?
Let's get to one of my all-time favorite city council moments, actually with a little bonus at the beginning. Of a gentleman on our own show who made a little city council appearance.
Oh, very young and nervous Nick Jamelli.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we will have that for you right here.
They could light up at the push of a button like they do with our current systems. We could also try doing more raised crosswalks at intersections. If the main goal is to slow drivers down, even if there isn't a pedestrian. Trees also help slow down drivers, so if the city would, you know, start watering them, maybe they would stop dying. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Will Wallachick.
Hi, Will Wallachick from 54 Leverett. I thought we got what we needed from our team today. The players, the coaches, they did a great job this week. We got a lot of from our leadership, from our players, and they responded today. We got contributions from pretty much everyone, every unit.
I'm sorry, which item are you speaking on? Just to,
I'm not ready to talk about next week's game. What?
What are you speaking of?
Oh, I'm speaking of unfinished business article number one.
But on fair housing?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Just wondering where you were going.
All right.
Thought we were talking about the Patriots for a minute.
Oh, that's so weird. I wasn't talking about. We got contributions from pretty much everyone, every unit, every phase of the team. It's what we needed, and we got it. We give them all the credit. We made enough plays to win it all over the area. Now we're looking at a short week here. We'll have to go back and try to do it again, but it's good to see our players and team respond the way that they did today. I thought we played hard, played well. Hopefully we can do it again. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you could leave your comments if you want, but thanks. All right. I was in the twilight zone for a minute. Go ahead, Heather.
That was like a musical introduction.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is the sound of a man crapping himself.
Nick's face. Nick's I'm not face. Ready to talk about next week's game. Is
when
the
they ask
best.
When they ask him a question, he just completely snaps.
It's like you when you saw his eyes. If it was a cartoon, you would have heard the word "aruga." Like it just like popped out of his head. I mean, listen, it's awesome you got in there, but man, you were freaking out.
Yeah, he was really freaking out. But then again, he was in front of some stupid city council, so.
Well, and also at that point, the people in the city council are probably used to people like Nick coming in there because, as we've been discussing over the past several months, all the only people that show up there are people trying to get liquor license and maniacs. People who show up and just need somebody to talk to. It's like they don't have money for a therapist, so they just stand up and they bitch in front of a crowd of people.
They're people who want the government to take care of everything.
That's right. So we now go to Seattle, where there is a gentleman who seems to have somewhat of an issue that was brought up again because an incident happened to him a year earlier that kind of gave him a little bit of bias as to how he wants to address this crew. So let's go to the Northwest, shall we? The great city of Seattle, and find out what this gentleman has to say to the city council in order to get something passed. Let's take it away, Fred.
133 is James Interman. Thanks.
I was in the protests. I didn't get arrested, but a year before the entire protest, I was arrested for saying the F word, and I will not use that word in front of the council. I'm sorry. I will substitute the word forget for the word the F word, okay? So I was trying to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom door was locked, and I said, forget it. And this lady said, excuse me, and I said, I need to go to the bathroom. She says, your language. I go, you've never heard the word forget? How about forget you, you mother forgetter? You ever heard that word before? And then I ran across the street to find another bathroom, and she called the police.
He didn't have to go to the bathroom. He just needed a bathroom to do whatever nefarious business he was up to.
Right, just to yell at the toilet.
Yeah.
And this cop came up to me and said, let me see your license. And I said, what for? You're going to arrest me for saying the word forget? And he said, put your hands behind your back. And I got arrested for saying the word forget. So this is my open letter to Mark Sidran. You dysfunctional, mentally ill derelict. Demon scum, antichrist, spewing worthless, constipated balls of dung from your Funkenwagnall education. You're a liquid-emitting fart. You evil bastard.
I'm starting to like this guy.
How old is this guy? I mean, he's probably like mid-30s.
Oh, I thought he was younger.
You're a liquid-emitting fart. Really?
God. Wow.
I think he stole this from Shakespeare.
It isn't. Well, Dr. Seuss.
You're a clear-cutting, cigar-smoking, depraved lunatic with a machine replacement head. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and please hack off your own feet and eat them. You profit-seeking circus act. Your idiot gibberish fuels the dystopian nightmares cooked up daily from the industrial laboratories of death. The giant echo of no trickling down from overpaid, overfed lackeys. The Gucci overlords and conservatives have always been black-hearted demons, and all WTO representatives are their mutated half-human stepchildren.
I would be freaking out if I was the guy he was talking about.
Right.
This is a guy who's not afraid.
This dude's on a watch list somewhere.
Yeah, this is a good guy who's not afraid to you know, cave into the dark side a little bit.
Yeah.
You're incontinent pond scum. You spineless vegetable head of dead lettuce with the mental capacity of a Swatch battery, the cognitive skills of a pigeon, and...
Swatch?
Obviously, yeah. It's not very high tech.
Somewhere the fat boys are nodding in their heads and saying, yes, another one sold.
The cognitive skills of a pigeon and the intelligent quotient of a dirt clod. A blood clot for a brain and a softened skull you can poke your finger in like a stick of hot butter. Those little rodent eyes like two shiny black BBs that never blink, gazing away into empty space. And a third eye on the side of the skull, dripping ice knot, combing your hair over so as not to scare children. A dead third eye just above the right ear like a milky black protruding mole. You black magician. magician and puppet master, trained by Aleister Crowley and raised by feral goats, turning Seattle into a Nazi Klan outpost with David Duke's twin alcoholic brother at the controls. Your entire philosophy is a bunk corporate hand and all your heroes are evil. Ayn Rand is a walking brain hemorrhage. Rush Limbaugh is a whimpering dehumanized thug. Ronald Reagan is a diseased midget steeped in chocolate slim fast. To sum up, my worthless friends, Mark Sidran is a plastic toad, a demonic fascist, a pathetic worm with dogmatic sermons for an industrial cesspool, a space heater filled with human waste and cat hair, a fan of John Tesh, a corporate shill, a floating green turd in the punch bowl of life, and made bright yellow vitamin-fortified flow onto the door handle of his holy automobile.
I mean... That is someone I don't want to be on the wrong side of.
My God.
I usually don't believe in curses, but I think this guy could get it done.
By the way, all
a
the...
liquid-emitting fart?
You're a liquid-emitting fart.
All the credit in the world for letting this guy go as long as he did.
Well, I think the people were, like, behind him. They were having the time of their lives.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy he's pissed at?
A cop.
Or it's a former city attorney. Dan is telling me the other room.
Oh, okay.
All right. He is the guy who enacted the civility laws that this guy was arrested under.
Okay.
That's why he's angry. Okay, I got
You're
it.
A clear-cutting, cigar-smoking, depraved lunatic with a machine replacement head.
Okay, I don't even know what that means.
Tack off your own feet and eat them.
Sometimes it's not easy to be a public defender or whatever the hell it is.
Put your hands behind your back.
Okay, maybe I will.
Demon scum, antichrist, spewing worthless, constipated balls of dung from your Funkenwagnall education.
Okay, all right. I don't know if I want to. As I said, give these guys credit. They didn't cut them off.
Oh, no.
Or arrest them.
You cut them off, and your head might come off.
You're a liquid-emitting fart.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Good. Feeling good. You know, it was positive and good step forward today. You know, I felt good. Been skating pretty hard with Kim and the other guys that joined practice today. You know, it's been good to get back on the ice and you know, in the practice-like situation, feeling good is definitely a great step forward, and I feel very positive.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. That's coming up this morning at 9:30. And real quick, Rich, when we were having our conversation earlier about something I was wrong about, I was using Bird's phone, and his friends are frantically always texting him about,
you know what,
about how we're the show's breaking up. And
you know what? I actually know that about Bird. Like, haven't we explored the world of his text messages before? It was when he was in for Townie Jeopardy, and his phone kept blowing up the entire time.
I mean, it kept going on, and people were like, the show's going to break up. On a scale of 1 to 10, John, how bad was that disagreement? I was non-polled. I didn't even care.
Three? Anyone
a one.
Who,
that's a one.
Do you realize,
I didn't even care.
Fred and I, first of all, have been friends since 99?
Yeah.
2000? Somewhere
maybe,
around
maybe
there?
Maybe even before. 99.
Okay.
99.
Okay, so probably around 99. Fred and I have been in a million arguments before. What we do
that
for
wasn't
a living,
even an argument.
What we do for a living is the stupidest thing in the world. And if that's something that's going to make you so angry that you're going to run and go, it's over.
The stupidest thing in the world is doing with Jeff. He's like,
That wasn't even an argument. I wasn't even upset.
First of all,
at all,
if you can't have a discussion like the one we just had and not continue to work with that person, then you probably are never going to have a partnership.
I get pissed off on the show sometimes. I was not even mildly pissed off.
No,
I was actually just busting his balls.
The only comment that where it could have gone a different direction, because I got in the car on the way and I heard that, was when Rich said, What the hell's going on here right now? Meaning that...
Oh, because it took a turn.
Right, that's my point. You get into one of those conversations, let's just say with your spouse, your significant other.
Sure.
And one of you has that moment of, what the hell's going on? What just happened?
Yeah, here? For a minute we went from 6 to midnight. Right. Actually, it was just like, why?
It was 6 to 6:01.
I've seen you guys... Yeah, I know.
You have to understand.
I was not upset. Like, listen...
And I wasn't upset.
You weren't upset. And I was certainly... I swear in a stack of Bibles, which probably means nothing, but that I was, I literally
had not a tinge of anger or any emotion in me.
See, Fred and I get in these discussions a lot, and we always get these things like, it sounds like mom and dad are breaking up. Come on. Yeah.
But sometimes those are fights. Like, sometimes those are legitimate arguments where I get pissed. That one,
if you can't handle something like that,
do you think that I care that it was a, of course it was a dumb, stupid conversation we were having off the air.
Our job is dumb.
Right.
But like, everything we do is dumb. And if you take it super seriously, shows do that all the time.
But if you, no, but that, especially, I'm not, listen, we've fought on air.
Didn't you guys have a big one in Atlanta, or am I thinking of...
No, not Fred and me.
No, Richard. We've never had one that carried over.
The morning show that I worked for, and I was sitting right in between it, and that was awesome. So this one guy was saying, like, there was an older guy in the show, and he was very excited that he got to see the sound check of Simon and Garfunkel before the Grammys. And the other guy on the show, the one that's Fred's best friend...
Yeah, who sued me.
Who sued Fred, said... You know what? Everything, what would he say? Sometimes I just want to grab you by your old neck and punch you in the face.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And it was like, whoa. And like, and nothing provoked it. It was just all of a sudden, I'm going to show the world how cool I am. Yeah. And Jimmy was just like, all right, man. And that was strange because there was no wit.
That's what it was. All right.
There was nothing like clever about what was said. No. And it was just like, I want to physically assault you at this very moment. No, and everyone's just like, cool,
that's,
man.
That's completely... And Rich and I have argued, and I've been very annoyed by Rich, and I assure you he's probably been annoyed more by me. But in that case, just because Bird was texting, I wouldn't even think to bring it up. Did I seem at all upset to you, Walt?
No.
I didn't care. I was busting balls. Listen, Christmas is coming. We got... 5.5 hours
coming,
of SummerSlam.
Be happy.
Jesus.
Joy to the world.
I mean, Jesus. I mean, you guys got to let me bust Rich's balls occasionally. You just have to. It's like enough already.
Just get better at it.
No, you know? I could get better at everything. No one's saying I'm a huge talent. But please allow me to bust his balls occasionally. Every time, because now it's text messages. Every time I bust Rich's balls in a friendly way, I mean, everybody, you're breaking it. I don't care what you say about me. That's fine. But the idea that that was a big fight is unacceptable. That's just unacceptable.
I got people texting me now. Tell Fred to shut up. He's a big meanie.
Of course.
I mean, he did come across like an a-hole.
Fine, and I don't have a problem with it.
Sometimes you just kind of let him dig his own grave and things like that.
Fine, I came off like an a-hole, like I often do.
Fred's an a-hole. He knows it. We know it. Tell him to shut up.
Okay. Yeah, but he's the a-hole we love. But if I come off like an a-hole, which was sort of my intention during that,
I meant to do it.
But no, Rich, I thought that I was being great. I thought questioning a person's absence for a funeral was a really, like, cool move. I mean, come on.
It would boost the queue.
I just thought everyone would love me for it. I thought it would be the greatest thing. I thought I'd get a Nobel Prize for it. But the idea that, like, I can't bust his balls at all infuriates me. And it should piss you off, too. Because I can't, like, I didn't even bust his balls. I said, oh, you're so holier than thou. I didn't even, leave me alone, dummies. Everyone listening, stupid. I'm an a-hole, of course. What, did you think I didn't know? Of course I was being an a-hole. I told Sarge I was being an a-hole.
You did talk to Sarge, because I don't think listeners know that.
I did talk to Sarge.
Oh, you called him during the break.
Yeah, I felt bad.
Yeah, the listeners don't know that.
I felt bad. I called them. I said, you know, listen, it's no offense. I mean, we were talking about it, and he was cool.
Okay.
See, that's nice. Fred is nice.
I'm not a maniac.
Peel back a few layers, though, to kind of get there.
I'm not a maniac. All right, anyway. So,
Billy, good morning.
Hello.
Billy Jaffe covers the Bruins for Nesson. We're going to have David Backus on.
Do you
have to go down to the Winter Classic?
I am going, yeah.
You're looking forward to that?
Absolutely.
Where are they putting you up?
I don't know. It's a great question.
They putting you up in South Bend?
One night in Chicago, one night in South Bend. Yes.
No, you're letting them pay for the hotel in South Bend. You know you could just take that money. You're a Chicago native.
I am, but I need to be there. I need to be there early on. I'm going to drive in early on the New Year's Eve day, on the 31st, because that's a practice schedule. And because I'm doing NHL radio as well, I'm ringside for NHL radio.
Oh,
so I want to be...
Hey, now, you got those seven people listening. So
17, if you're including my family.
You are that, an a-hole. You know what?
No one listens to Angel.
For that, you stand out in 10-degree weather.
You are a dick.
Billy, if you only worked for NHL radio, would you be able to afford your home?
I can't afford my home, and I don't.
Where does he live?
All right.
Of course not.
No, he lives on the bad side of the
Fred, why do you think he's here now?
Yeah. Because we're friends. Because right. I'm friends with him. Yeah. All right.
So this isn't going to suck as far as the venue's concerned. Like, I mean, because Fenway, as beautiful as it looked on TV, that was an awful venue for the people who attended.
Baseball venues are always more difficult to enjoy the game than football venues.
Sure.
Just because of the oval nature versus the whatever you want to call baseball stadium.
Right. Unless you had upper deck at Fenway.
Upper deck, first five rows.
You couldn't see.
Exactly.
Yeah, we could only see the heads of the players if they were on the left corner boards.
Heads of the players. Yes, because of the way that the rink was set in the field. Right. I've done an outdoor game at Fenway, actually college game. I didn't do the Winter Classic here, but I've done Wrigley. I've done Nat Stadium or whatever it's called in Washington. Mm-hmm. That was pretty, but again, it was antiseptic. I felt there's no history to Nat Field. But I did Winter Classic at Ann Arbor, and that's
got to be cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't gone there obviously, but also
the sight lines were
better, and 104,000 people. I did the first ever outdoor game in the U.S. at Michigan State.
Did you play at Michigan State?
No. I was long gone.
Okay.
Because
they did that. They were 06, the first to do that.
In 2001. It was October 6, 2001, I believe.
They were the first to do it.
Yeah. Idea came from an assistant coach worked at Michigan State. About a year earlier, the guy said to the old head coach, Ron Mason, why wouldn't we play an outdoor game? Or why can't we do it? And it was one of those moments of, well, we never thought about that. Long story short, it came around. Amazing day. You know, it was a month after 9/11. So everybody was like, what's going to happen? Only because this mass amount of people, this big event.
Everyone was scared.
But then they pulled it off. The weather the day before, when I got in on Friday for practices, was misty and warm. And the teams ended up trying to practice, but it was bubbly. The ice had bubbles all over it. But the guy at the time who was there who was still doing the NHL stuff, Dan Craig's his name, who runs all the ice for them. He said, oh, we're going to make it work. And at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock on game day, it was spectacular. So 75,000 people did that game. Then I did the big game. It's called the Big Chill at Michigan Stadium, between Michigan and Michigan State, a couple of years later. When they're done right, they're awesome. Yeah. They really are when they're done right. You can't obviously control the weather, but when they're done right, they're a lot of fun.
Do you know who my mom was good friends with in college at St. Lawrence?
I don't. Ron Mason. Well, because he was there playing and then coaching. Yeah.
So much sex between the two of them.
Really?
No.
She's always thinking about the bear.
Ron Mason was
the first thing I thought of, too.
That's right.
Is there something wrong with me?
It's like a
we bumped ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to ask you this, and then we're going to have to break because we're going to get to David Backus, so you're going to hang out for a while. But so Bergeron is back at practice.
Yep.
But it always seems at the end of the year that we find out that Bergeron has been playing with something that's been hurting him for the entire season. Just because he's back at practice, does that mean that he's healthy, or do you think this is something that's going to linger? I know you don't know particularly.
You know what, Fred? In this regard, I think that he's healthy. Okay. I do. You know, the time off allows the body to heal. How's that for analysis? But I think that this isn't a lingering. Well, right now, they're not going to say, wait, if you're really not 100%, we're not putting you back out before Christmas break. You're going to get another week. You're going to get the sternoclavicular, and the rib injury. You're going to take care of that and make sure that it's healed. This is not a muscle. I mean, of course you can re-injure it, I guess, but this isn't a muscle that could linger, or a sports hernia, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. That takes a long time and usually requires a little bit of surgery. This required time to get it done. You have the clavicle area, and I'm no doctor, to heal up. But I don't think there's any way in hell that they would allow him back on the ice if this was lingering on him.
You don't think there's any pressure to get him back before the Winter Classic?
No.
You don't think the NHL is...
That's not a bad point.
No, I don't think the Bruins.
Because they got no stars on the Bruins if they don't have Chara and Patrice.
I got news for you.
Pasternak and Marchand, but they're not those two guys.
If the Bruins would say to them, are you freaking kidding me? Hell no.
All right.
We're not worried about one game over the course of the season.
And I think you're on the same page as me, is that you see Krejci. Okay, I have a question for you, because we both think Krejci should play with Pastrnak, and we
yep.
both think that Bergeron should play with Marchand.
Yeah.
Okay, so give me, and this is going to sound stupid, but I don't care. So if you put Bergeron in the second line with Marchand, and you take him away from like the Austin Matthews's of the world,
uh-huh.
does that have any effect on who he goes up against? Like, what's the significance of him being the first or second line?
There's no the beauty of what you're suggest. What you're saying is to balance the lines a little more.
Yes,
and the beauty of that, in my opinion, is that. It doesn't matter then,
right.
meaning about the whole matchup thing.
Because there's talk of Krejci being upset if he was put down again to the second line. I've heard people speculate that bothers him. And to that I would say, well, you have to play matchups, and you need Bergeron out against the best offensive line.
Well, but this is the beauty of the Bruins when they're healthy, when they're full. I don't know if you noticed the other night, for instance, in Montreal, yes, they're the road team. Mm-hmm. But the fourth line, with how well they're playing, Achari, Corrali, Wagner, they're getting offensive zone or defensive zone starts at times against opponents' best lines.
Right.
That's and if they could just get a, you know, Forsbacka Carlson's playing better. And you have Cave, who has slid in and last couple's played really well. But my point is, if you can get that third line solidified, whether that's Joakim Nordstrom, Backes, and whomever, they can also do matchups. That's what we saw last year with Riley Nash. And that frees up both your 1A and 1B lines to go out there and kick some ass offensively.
Right.
But okay. I do think, look, I know we're going to get a break here. I'll tell you what, Jake DeBrusk is a big get back when he gets back, because then I think – you split up those guys,
yeah.
That gives you now balance on both.
I would put DeBrusk with Krejci based on the way that they play together, or no?
No, I would put. I'm thinking right now. You get Bergeron, Marchand as a pair, Pastrnak, Krejci as a pair. Then who do you put on the right side with Bergeron? DeBrusk has shown he can play the right side. Maybe you elevate him there since you have Pastrnak on the right with.
Okay.
With Krejci. Okay. And then the question becomes, is it Heinen or Donato on the left side? That's the way I've started to look at it.
Okay. All right. Well, we can talk to David Backes about how he's finally playing decently.
Since Thanksgiving, he's been great.
Yeah. Well, let's not go crazy.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
But we will talk to him. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, David Backes from the Boston Bruins.
Backes, rip shot, score! David Backes to give the Bruins a 3-2 lead.
But today I am Backes boys. Backes boys. Yeah, girl.
Tell me why he ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why he ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why I never want to hear you say.
Can I bring you to the semi-formal?
.985 The Sports Hub. Semi-formal. Have you guys ever seen that skit they did on Saturday Night Live about the Sopranos in the 80s?
No.
Like back in high school, it's very funny. You should check it out.
You saw the Weezer one, right? From this past weekend where Matt Damon was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
It was, very, very funny. It was a good episode. The whole episode was actually pretty good.
Matt Damon's an excellent host. Even though David Backes is not on the phone and is essentially screwing us, I will, for my love of the Bruins, indeed still read this. The Bruins Foundation Festival of Trees, the Boston Bruins Foundation, and the wives, girlfriends of the Boston Bruins welcome fans to participate in the second annual Festival of Trees. These uniquely decorated mini trees will include a variety of items such as autographed Boston Bruins memorabilia, gift certificates, and some of the players' favorite things. Fans will have an opportunity to bid on select trees online and purchase raffle tickets for select trees in-game. All online bidding ends today at 10 p.m. The trees are on display at BruinsAuctions.org, and Tuukka Rask tree will be raffled off tonight. So there you go. Thank you, Boston Bruins. Should thank me for reading that, even though we have been disrespected.
I wouldn't mind online, too, finding out what this person has to say to Billy Jaffe, who's in studio. This is something I maybe I know who he's talking about. We'll see.
All right, Adam, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Yeah, once Bergeron's back, I don't want to break up the top line. Plus,
Krejci doesn't deserve Pasternak. All he's done the last couple of years is piss and moan about who his line mates are. You're the highest paid player in the team. You underachieve year after year. It's like, act like the player you're supposed to be, okay? And on top of that, I took so much joy when we were still going after Tavares, when he's like, oh, nobody told me what's going on, was getting traded. Yes, we would have traded you in a heartbeat to get Tavares. You are useless. Thanks, guys.
All right, what I will do is I will tell you that I heard Billy Jaffe's two-minute appearance on Zoe and Bertrand the other day. And you made the point, which I think is a good point.
I'm glad you listened.
Well, you're lucky I caught the 5 seconds they had you on. Actually felt bad for you. But the point is that, listen, Krejci does bitch. I mean, there's no question about it. But you see what he can do when he has talent around him. Mm-hmm. And that over the last couple of years, there has been a lack of talent surrounding him. And maybe that motivates him. Is it more of a motivational factor? Is it more that his skill set? Because he's not a fast skater.
I think it's both.
Okay.
He's not as slow as people like to make it out. He slows the game down with regard to his style.
All right.
But when he has that little, watch, there's a little lope to his stride when he's going, when he's feeling it. And we've seen that an awful lot the last couple of weeks. And so he's not a speed demon. I mean, we're seeing these kids, guys come up nowadays. They're so frenetically fast. It's like some of them can't do anything with the puck. Meanwhile, Krejci can. But again, he's not as fast as them. I do think it's both of what you said, though. I think there's some motivation there. And I also think there's a feel-good part to his game, especially right now, saying, damn right, you know what? It's gelling. I've had this synchronicity or synchronization with these guys, you know, these connection working. And I think he feels great about it. He's very honest guy. You talk to him in the locker room. He's kind of got a sharp wit to him.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet, but quiet, sharp wit. He's incredibly proud. That's the other thing too. So this is nice to see him jumping up like this.
And it also sucks to have your name being thrown around in any kind of trade. And it's got to get to you, you know?
All right. David Backus. And I know because he's on his wife's phone. And he's called in on the line that you call in as a jabroni. Okay. But David Backus, hello.
Hi, how are you today?
All right, I gave you that tree liner already, even though you didn't call in on time. So that's out of the way.
We're going to defer that to the Bruins PR for either the wrong number or whoever's in your other line room is snoozing. Get their feet off the desk.
Right. Well, I mean,
it's the old hotline, Fred. That is, I believe, that 1,000%
is my wife several times. All right, so you know Billy Jaffe, right?
What's up, David?
Yes.
If you two fought...
Because he's in studio right now.
Who comes out on top?
Oh, I got the reach on him, but he's got the old man strength, so probably a pretty good battle.
He's a young buck compared to me. He's a young buck. I think it's a one and done.
David, you know I see you around town. I don't bother you because I'm a classy guy. But I saw you at Newton Southeast Little League. You were at the opening day.
Yeah, I was with my daughter.
Yeah, and I was there with my son and daughter. We could have hooked up. We could have had lunch, but I left you alone.
Now you're going to embarrass me because we had nothing to do with Newton Little League, and my daughter just wanted to be in a parade.
Well, I don't blame her. I don't blame her. And you know what? I had free coupon tickets, but, you know, if you free hot dog tickets, and if you would have asked, I would have given them to you. All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Okay, I'll do it. We had a little something going there, but you ruined it. All right, so David... So there was this thing where Joe Haggerty, who you could beat up, I won't even ask you, was in a car with Brad Marchand, and he was asking, what would you get guys for the holidays? And Marchand said he would give McAvoy a clock because he's, or an alarm clock because he's constantly late to things, and then he called him fat.
Marchand's words, not ours.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So he said, so is it true that A, McAvoy is constantly late for things, and B, that he is fat?
Perpetually late, yes. It's cost him a few shillings over the past couple weeks, especially. And fat, he's got the chubbiest cheeks I may have ever seen on him. The rest of him actually is in decent shape, but we like to absolutely twist the knife on him for the chubby cheeks. He blames his dad. That's his own psychologist to be able to figure that out.
That's what's infuriating about hockey is that some of these guys are so young, you're like, you still have baby fat on you. All right, so But how does he get away with that? You would think as a young player, and obviously he's a budding superstar, but how does he get away with, you know, kind of breaking team rules and stuff like that? I know it's not that serious, but, like, how does he get away with that?
I think to get away would just suffer no consequences, and it's hit him in the wallet a couple times. Probably he's on the hook for at least a couple team dinners at this point for being late too much. But and we don't mind the free meals. We'll wait 3-4 minutes for him to get there and then take the free meals. And there's been other consequences, too. I think one of the previous names you've spoken might have found some scissors and a sock while he was on the road. So he had a toeless sock for a whole road trip.
That's on him for only bringing one pair of socks.
Man.
So, David, you obviously did not perform to expectations for a while that you were here. And recently that has turned. And you guys have been dealing with these injuries. What for you has clicked recently in terms of your play?
I think it was a lot of more just mentally of trying to find my role and what, in this scheme of how we're going to win games as a team. Am I going to be a checking guy? Am I going to be a guy that just runs around? Am I going to be a skill guy? Am I going to play the top six, the bottom six, center, wing? Who's my line mates? Throw that all up in the air. And I think I got consumed worrying about what that was going to be rather than just going out there and whatever role I'm in, play my game and see where it fits into the puzzle. And I think that's been my focus lately is go out there. You don't have to be hesitant. You don't have to worry about other things. Just do what you do and we'll be successful as a group. And, the coaching staff and management aren't ignorant. They can put pieces around and move them around to be in the most successful places. But if I'm not playing well, it doesn't matter where I'm placed. It's not good.
Did we lose him? Luke?
Still there?
Oh, yeah, right, there we go.
They're just breaking up, yeah.
Going through a bad patch there for a moment. But, I mean, during the time that you had two of your best players out, and they're still out, the team has done surprisingly well. You guys have held it together. You've had some character wins. But now that Patrice is skating with you guys and he's at practice, and I know Zdeno showed up yesterday as well.
Kevin Miller, all of them.
Yeah, everyone seems to be coming back at the time. Do you think that time away from them and having to almost kind of, as you said, play, everyone was playing different roles, do you think that's better for the team and as a whole the team will be improved once they return?
Yeah, I think we kind of tested this theory last year with a lot of key injuries all at once and different guys plugging different holes and spoke to the depth that was created. And from that, I think we were better in the long run. You knew that other guys could step up if we needed, especially playoff time, that you're going to have injuries and you need someone to, be able to plug a hole for a game or two while the other guy gets healthy. And, we've learned lessons. We've learned how to be blue collar, and we get some of these guys that are real high-end skill or have the ability to, do the big minutes. Now we've got guys that have gained a little confidence in the league and know that we've got depth throughout the lineup to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of.
All right, David, what did your daughter think of the scar on your face from 2 weeks ago when you fell on the blade?
She wasn't very attracted to the stitches. I was reading her a book a couple times at night, and I'm pointing at things at the book, and I look over, and she's just staring at my face. So that was that was a little disturbing. But now that the stitch is out, every once in a while, she's like, "You still have an owie," and I'm trying to tell her that I'm all better and we can move past that. But 3.5-year-old minds are beautiful things.
Man, when that happens, so when you're running off the ice, I mean, what's the first thing you look for when you head to a mirror? Like what's going through your head?
Well, I saw that it was a skate that hit me and I felt the impact. And then when I grabbed it with my gloves, I just see blood all over my gloves and I'm like, this isn't good. And I know nobody's helping me out here in the middle of the ice in front of their net. So, I just skated off and wanted to get to the docks as soon as I could. I didn't know what I had going on in my face. And thankfully, I think as unlucky as it is to get a skate in the face, I was probably best case scenario with a dozen stitches or so and just a little flesh wound.
All right. Well, David Backus, I encourage your daughter to play in the Newton Southeast Little League. There's plenty of room. I'm on the board. I think I can get you in. So
appreciate it.
We appreciate the time and continued success. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, see all right, you, man. Appreciate it. All right, Billy Jaffe, we got to talk to Danny Ainge.
Oh, nice.
So you're out of here.
Okay.
All right. We're going to talk to Danny Ainge. Right.
Hey,
hey, is your wife, is Victoria Christian?
Yes.
So do you celebrate Catholic, Christmas? Yes.
Yeah, we do both.
All right. Well, same with me.
Yeah, we do both. One big present in my house the whole month. My daughter's birthday, the end of November, Julia's birthday.
Oh,
and then
she
gets
screwed.
No,
like
she doesn't get. No, she gets and then she gets and then she gets.
See, I got like
too much,
fish
it's a lot of getting. You
for
got
my
fish?
Birthday one year.
Really?
When I was a kid. It's like
that's all that was in the budget.
Because I would get a ton for Christmas. Like I was rather spoiled. I was an only child. And then on my birthday, they would give me fish.
I didn't know you're an only child. That explains a lot.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Yes, we do both. So it's going to be, although I think we're staying here this year for, you know, and just us, just a small thing.
Well, that's sad.
Isn't it?
All right. You enjoy yourself. Have fun at the Winter Classic.
All right, guys.
All right. We will be right back with Danny Ainge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.